Our congregation just read responsively in our Sunday school hour, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. So if you have a Bible, go ahead and find Proverbs chapter 3 and follow along as I make a few comments from verses 1 to 3. Notice at the very beginning of verse 1, it states, "My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart keep my commandments." Once again, I believe the first 10 Proverbs that you will journey through in this particular book by King Solomon, you're going to find a king addressing himself to a young man. In this case, his son, and by extension, all the other children that Solomon had, even to include his daughters as well. But he's talking here singularly, probably to the next son in Solomon's family that was going to follow him to the throne. And if that be true, then we're talking about Rehoboam. He would become the next king of the nation when it would eventually be divided into the 10 northern tribes and then the 2 southern tribes in that civil war that occurred during the reign of Rehoboam. And so here's a father talking to a young man who's old enough to be tempted and lured by the world, old enough to be tempted by the flattering lips of a woman of the night, old enough to get suckered in with the wrong crowd, a gang or a peer group that's running wild in the streets. So that's the context here. We got a father addressing a young man who, if he's not careful, will easily be led astray. And so the father says, "Forget not my law, but then keep them." So this is sound advice, I believe, for any parent, even if they're lost, even if a lost mother and father who has some decency about them, if they just read the book of Proverbs and put its words, the letter of the law, into simple application, they would be doing a whole blessing for their children, even if they're lost. But in this case, Solomon was a saved man. So he's addressing his boy. Now, when it comes to Christian parenting, this is sound advice. How does a Christian mother and father prepare any child to face the world that's out there? So here the father is pleading. Notice, "my son," a term of endearment, a loving term. He's reaching out and plucking the heartstrings of his boy. "My son." He doesn't say, "Hey, boy, get over here." No, "my son." So the father is reaching out with a tender, deep-hearted love. "Don't forget what you've been taught in the home. But let thine heart keep my commandments." So notice, there has to be a hearing of the word, an understanding of that word, a reception of that word, and then the ultimate keeping of that word. And notice verse 2, "For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee." Now, let's be careful here. Verse 2 has nothing to do with salvation. No one is ever saved by doing works, whether before the cross or after the cross. So how are we supposed to understand that verse 2? That's not talking about salvation, being saved by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone, by the word of God alone, for the glory of God alone. No. We're talking about physical, everyday life, a prosperous life, a long life, length of days, okay, long life, peace and tranquility. We're talking about the physical sphere. Notice in verses 9 and 10, you see the same thing. "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." Okay, so here we're told to honor the Lord, not just with our money, not just with our shekels, not with our pennies and dimes, nickels and quarters, but with everything. Then verse 10, "So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Last time I checked, there's not going to be any farms and barns in heaven. So verses 10 is showing you the physical, natural, tangible blessings that come to anyone who was willing to take God's word at face value and put it to practice in their life. Okay? Now, go back to verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Now, for those who insist that we must understand the Bible in a wooden literalism, okay, how do I write God's word on the organ in my chest that is currently pounding, currently beating? So we're not talking about a literal physical heart that's in your chest. When it says, write them upon the table of thine heart, that's a figure of speech which cannot be taken literally, but must be understood as poetry, which Proverbs and Psalms, for instance, and the Song of Solomon is highly poetic, Hebraic poetry, and it must be handled carefully. When it says about etching it on your heart, my dear friends, that's talking about putting it into your mind, making it part of your thinking, part of your biblical worldview. And when you look at that verse 3, and then you understand about the new covenant, what does God say about the new covenant in the book of Jeremiah? I will write my laws in their hearts. That's in Jeremiah 31, I believe. And so notice here, you have the new covenant. And Solomon predates Jeremiah by several centuries. How's that to grab you? Here Solomon is, he's already anticipating the new covenant blessing of a people who were never God's people, now are going to be called the people of God. And here we find this little ditty, write them upon the table of thy heart. Well, in salvation, God writes those laws for you on your heart. Isn't that beautiful? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, not with simply a partial or a divided heart like many professing Christians. Lean not unto thine own understanding. And so if you look at that verse 5, okay, we have a contrast between godly wisdom and man's wisdom. Look at verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. So in the book of Proverbs, you're going to find this constant contrast, a stark delineation between the wisdom of God that is gained through Scripture and the wisdom of man that you get when you go out there in the street and you hear all of the ridiculousness of man's ideologies, especially now in our day. Some of the ideologies and some of the stuff that's being taught in public schools, which we heard about this past Thursday at our Republican meeting, quotations from certain school board members, how they view parents and how they view children that are in their schools. It was chilling to hear those quotes. And then to hear some of the subjects that are being taught in the books that are found in libraries, even at the elementary level, grotesque books on subjects that shouldn't even be put into the mind of a kindergarten student. Here we're told, be not wise in thine own eyes. And beloved, that's being violated right now by the current administration, left and right. And unfortunately, many pastors don't follow the Scriptures. And so they just simply put their thumb up in the air, in whatever direction the wind is blowing, that's the direction that pastor goes, as well as his church. What a shame. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. So again, this contrast between God's wisdom and my innate, depraved wisdom. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Again, verse 6 is not talking about a salvation blessing. It's talking about everyday, natural, tangible living in this cursed world. The person who is willing to take God's word and just put it into practice, even if they're lost, but there's a sense of decency, and maybe they give a little salute to the Scriptures, And so they read it and they take its principles and they apply it to their life. It ain't going to save them. But beloved, their life might take on a whole different dimension just by obeying the letter of the law. And by doing that, God may open up their eyes to see the spirit of that law and bring them to salvation. So there it is, a father's plea to a young man who's old enough to get in trouble. This father is trying to put barriers around his son's heart to prevent him from falling into any trap that the world, the flesh, and the devil can put before his boy. Well, may God choose to bless his word.